You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, and welcome to the season finale episode of the Intern.cast show, the show where we, the hosts, much like the features that we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right, all the other critics out there are like good season finales, Breaking Bad or 6 Feet Under. We're kind of more like that season series finale, actually, of Dexter.
Mm. I've never seen Dexter, so.
Well, spoiler alert, it's awful.
So I've
heard. I am your host, TJ, and filling in for Davey while he is being a busy college student is...
This is Trace. Hello.
And...
Of course, Leslie's always here.
Don't follow me, okay? Thanks. But yes, this is the season finale episode, and just short right off the bat, we thought we were calling it a season finale episode because it'll probably be the last one we do this year. Sorry about that, people, but we are actually enormously busy. Davey got busy doing his film stuff. Leslie got busy not having people follow her around because suddenly people started following her around, and she didn't know what to do with this excess attention. So she's gonna bounce, just kidding. And I suddenly have to get two jobs because I'm an adult and... Bills, bills, bills. But it's
hey,
cool.
That's a Destiny Child song.
Bills, bills, bills?
Mm-hmm. What's, I gotta pay my bills.
What's a Destiny's Child?
Pay my telephone bills. Da-na-na. What?
That's really a Destiny's Child song?
But I'm pretty sure it's Destiny's Child.
Wow.
I would think more TLC, but...
TLC is not... No. It's Destiny's Child.
Not what?
Well, yeah, you didn't even... No Scrubs, no what?
They don't need no scrubs. They can pay them bills.
Right? I wish they would do a video where there was like no scrubs, but it's like a dude, a doctor, he's wearing scrubs. They're like, no scrubs. And he'd be like, but I make $1 million. And they'd be like, okay, some scrubs.
I feel like that should have been like the song that's on the Scrubs episode, like in the beginning intro. No scrubs.
Well, speaking of bad series finale, Scrubs, man. About that Scrubs,
yeah,
though.
That season finale, W fucking A.
Anyway, we'll be doing a double feature this week. It's a Christmas episode! A double review of The Christmas Prince and something, something, Dak Shepherd's Christmas. What's the second one called, Trace?
El Camino Christmas.
El Camino Christmas.
Yeah, more like that, that's right.
Yeah, except there was, like, no Mexicans in the entire thing.
Yeah, there's
Michael
one.
And Milo Ryder.
I don't even know if he was Mexican. I feel like he was more Indian.
Yeah, he can, yeah, I think so, too.
Anyway. But, yeah, so, Trace, what have you been up to, man?
Not much, you know, just catching up on some movies, watching some stuff from this year. Have you guys heard of that movie, Brigsby Bear?
Nope. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen a trailer or anything about it.
It's really interesting. It's about this guy that, it's revealed that he's basically in an underground bunker with his parents, and he's lived there his entire life. And his dad produces this TV show for him that's made exclusively for him called Brigsby Bear. And it's run like 700 episodes, and it's made just by his dad and his parents. And his dad is played by Mark Hamill. And then it's revealed that those aren't actually his parents. Those are his captors, and he's been captured. He was kidnapped from his parents early in his childhood. And so he goes home to his real family and has to learn how to adapt to real life.
Wow, that sounds like a really fucked up version of, there's this movie called Blast from the Past with Encino Man.
Okay.
Where it was, who plays Encino Man?
Oh shit, you can't put me on the spot like this.
Brandon Fraser.
Yeah, there we go.
It's Brandon Fraser and his parents are war people, and they're so afraid that the world's going to break out in World War III, so they build a fallout shelter, and it accidentally locks them in for 30 years, and
he
grows up in a shelter. And then mix that with Room.
Oh, okay. I understand what you're going for.
Hey, your connection is poor, is what it says.
Does it say that?
Yeah, if it happens, man, just call us back, and we'll keep going. Don't stop recording.
But, okay, gotcha.
How was that? Good?
Honestly, I was a little underwhelmed because I like the lead in the movie named Kyle Mooney. I know him from SNL and from some comedy stuff. And so this is basically kind of like his baby. But
wait, is it a comedy?
Yeah, it is a comedy. Kind of like I'd say it's more of like kind of a dramedy, kind of a feel-good, like lighthearted, you know, get your life together type of thing.
Oh, just like Room. Room was a great lighthearted comedy.
Yeah, just like that movie. Just like that movie you mentioned.
Did you ever see Room?
I saw Room. I did see it. And I laughed the whole time.
It's a riot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a laugh riot. I wish Brigsby Bear was, but honestly, I was a little underwhelmed. It's more tepid than anything, and kind of unwilling to follow through on the potential it has to just be this really weird thing. But I think it's still got plenty of heart there, and Kyle Mooney is super dedicated to the role, and he brings a lot to it. If he wasn't in it, I probably wouldn't like it as much. And I think it's funny that Mark Hamill's in like 10 minutes of it. But
he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Overall, I think it's an interesting watch that people should look into if they're interested, but I was a little underwhelmed by it, unfortunately, which is, I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to watching it like all year, and I was happy that I finally got around to watching it, and I was just disappointed.
Aww.
Yeah.
So sad.
What have you guys been watching, though? That's basically like the big thing that I watched this past week.
Speaking of sad, I haven't seen shit, dude. Like, this is just a prelude. Like, this is my life for the next couple months, is like having no time to fucking do anything. But, have I seen anything lately? I don't think I have.
I don't think you have either.
I've been playing some video games.
What you been playing?
Rocket League.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I could never get good at that game.
Oh, well.
Like, how long? Are you actually good at Rocket League?
I'm pretty good at it.
Because that shit is hard.
I mean, you're better than I am at it.
Well, I'm better at doing everything than you are.
No, very true.
I'm pretty good at it. I'm not very good at flying, which is kind of like what the masters do, like the pros do. I can't really pull that off.
Wait, flying?
Sometimes I get... Yeah, what?
Flying?
Yeah, like, you know, you point your car at the ground...
And you rock it up.
Okay, I understand.
I can score anywhere from the ground, but I can't do shit once my car leaves the ground.
Okay.
But I'm getting there. I play a lot of Town of Salem, too. You ever played Town of Salem, Trace?
No.
Yeah.
What is that?
Don't. It's dumb.
It's just like a whodunit killer game online. It's just, everyone has a different role. Have you ever played Mafia or Werewolf or anything like that?
No, but I know about them. Like, I know the gist of what they are.
Yeah, it's basically that, but online.
That sounds interesting, actually. I might have to look into it.
Oh, speaking of which,
what?
I gave you a game to start playing and to obsess over. You fucking shithead.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Pocket Camp.
Oh, yeah, Pocket Camp.
That's all she's been doing. She's not paying her side of the rent. She's not making me no dinner.
What?
I'm just kidding. Don't hit me.
That's fantastic.
She's been playing that fucking game And she's turned into a fucking evil shithead because she tricked some...
That's a great theme.
It sounds like someone's farting.
Oh, someone's sleeping.
I love those cute sound effects.
I know. Apollo's sleeping right now, so...
I can see the cute animals just from those sounds.
I know, right?
You guys are awful.
What level are you at?
I put it down for a few days, so I think I'm like I think I'm only level 5 right now.
What? I'm a level 30.
Yes, yeah. I've been working a lot the past week. I haven't had time to pick it up, really.
That sounds like a very responsible adult thing to do, Trace.
I agree.
Maybe while I'm at work.
Oh, my God.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I have been watching a ton of New Girl. I don't know if you guys ever watched New Girl.
Oh, yeah.
New Girl is like... There's, like, it comes and goes, but, like, there are some times when it's so fucking funny and charming and cute.
Yeah.
And then other times they're like, I kind of wish this would go back to what it was. But, like, the best part about that show is fucking the dudes are so funny.
Yeah, like, I'm in the middle of season 4, and I thought it was funny that they changed the intro from Jess singing about herself, because I think they realized this show's not really about Jess. This is really more about...
She's the worst part about that show.
Yeah, I think she's the least funny in the show, yeah. But Winston and Schmidt are the two highlights for me, definitely. I think Winston is one of the funniest characters on TV right now.
She's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, at first, like, because I saw the pilot episode, and I really liked, what's his name, being on the show? One of the Wayans brothers.
Oh, yeah, Damon Wayans Jr.
And then
Jr.
they replaced him. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. I like him. But I'm like, fuck that. Winston's hilarious.
Yeah, Winston is so fucking funny.
I think Winston is way better than Coach.
Yeah, I think Winston is also, like, a lot better than Coach, yeah. But I do think Coach is still funny, and I like his role once they bring him back into the
When season. They bring him back, yeah, it's pretty...
Yeah.
Complete.
But yeah, I've been blasting through that show. I think it's really good.
You know who I want to blast through? Fucking the girl that plays the other one.
Oh, Cece?
Cece?
Oh. Oh
my god, she's gorgeous.
He's in love with her boobs.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They're just, come on, back me up here, Trent.
She's TJ, I will tell you, she's a handsome woman.
What? I don't know what that means, but I am oddly, alright, I'm down. Yeah, I wish there was more to say for our season finale, what I've been watching, but that's about it. But it is the season of Christmas. Yeah.
It is Christmas time.
And that season for our first review, which is the El Camino Christmas. Every time I try to do a Hispanic accent, I always end up doing like an Asian accent. It's in my blood. How do you do it?
El Camino.
No, say Christmas.
Christmas.
You white fucking.
Christmas.
Yes, an El Camino. An El Camino Christmas. If I could pull that up. So the general plot of this movie is Dax Shepard is a dumbass.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Well, he's always a dumbass.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how he got a Kristen Bell or whatever her name is.
Yep. Maybe she's a dumbass too. But yeah, so he's a dumbass and things happen. And yeah, let's get to our reviews.
Okay. What's that one movie? Was Dax Shepard in that movie with Dane Cook about the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Employee of the Month?
Yeah, that movie.
I liked that movie because it was filmed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'm from New Mexico, so that's the only reason why I liked it.
I liked that movie just because I thought it was actually pretty funny. I don't think it's actually that good, probably. I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember liking it.
I hated what's-her-face in it. I hated what's that blonde bitch with the boobs?
Jessica
Simpson.
Yes, yes, yes.
I hated her, and if I hate her just generally.
Why do you hate her?
Because she's a bimbo.
Oh, okay.
You're a bimbo.
I'm not a bimbo.
Anyway, this is El Camino Christmas, directed by David E. Talbert, who doesn't seem like he's got a lot of directorial stuff under his belt. He's more writing. He does a lot of black leading comedies like First Sunday and Baggage Claim.
Yes, yes. Hmm.
Not a fan of First Sunday, mainly just because I didn't like, it had all those actors at the time that I just didn't find were that funny. Like, it was like 2007, and every single one of these comedians was just way too overrated and not that funny. Mainly that one guy, Cat Williams, hated him.
Yeah, I thought he was a little obnoxious, more than anything.
I mean, like, there's obnoxious, and then there's just, like, being a one-shtick dude, and his one-shtick was that he's short,
yes,
black, and thinks he's a pimp.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's just not, that just wasn't funny.
Which is
and then he, like, blew up.
Which is, like, that's kind of what Kevin Hart is doing now, at least with the short
I know.
Thing.
I can't do Kevin Hart either.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not funny to me. No. I don't know. Anyway, neither one of those dudes is in this movie here. But I'm kind of spoiled your thing a little bit there. You said that you didn't like it. So, okay, so really the rundown is what's the rundown? What's it about?
It's about, ultimately it's about, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the first, like, 30 minutes or so. Because it goes through a lot before it gets to the main plot, actually. But really, it's just about this group of characters that get stuck in a convenience store in a hostage situation on Christmas Eve in the fake town of El Camino. What state is this supposed to be in? Nevada?
Nevada.
Yeah. And
I thought the reporter was in Austin.
At the end, she was.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I saw, like, the last 2 seconds. Sorry.
Yeah. But that's the basic plot of it, and it's been marketed as kind of this dark Christmas comedy slash kind of like crime caper sort of deal. And
it wasn't funny. See, that's the thing is, like, I all I saw was Dax Shepard, and then it has kind of a stupid name, El Camino Christmas.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the trailer or anything like this. I just assumed that this was some stupid shit, horrible Dax Shepard comedy, and I was ready to be seething. I already had my review picked out. I'm not going to fucking lie. It was going to be like 0 out of 10, fuck Dax Shepard's.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I kind of liked it a little bit. Like, I was half paying attention in the beginning, and then when I realized it wasn't a comedy and what it was really actually about, I actually paid attention to it. So, I mean, you're right. It's kind of weird in the beginning because it's kind of an ensemble piece, even though about half the cast isn't famous.
Right.
So it's an ensemble piece that through the stupidest logic, and that's the biggest, that's a huge thing, is like the way these people sort of get stuck and the misunderstandings that have to take place
mm-hmm.
in order for these people to get hostageable. Anyway, that's how stupid the beginning part is. In order for the plot to continue, these people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, you really got to suspend some disbelief for like how dumb these characters are.
Mainly the bad cop. Like no, like I know there are bad cops out there, and you know we see some pretty violent versions of that in real life. But like in this movie world, I just didn't buy that cop being that stupid.
I'm just not sure why he was being that way. Over like the guy was acting suspicious, but did the movie ever reveal that he was an actual like criminal?
No, he's not.
So that's where it kind of lost me a little bit, was that he's doing all these weirdly suspicious things and these cops are tailing him, but then it leads to nothing. And right. Yeah, and Vincent D'Onofrio's character is just being the dick cop because this guy's got some weed on him, I guess.
God, that was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
He's a chameleon, dude. I've never once recognized him twice.
Right.
But he's different in every movie I've ever seen him in.
And, like, I think he's bringing his best to this role, but it's just not offering him that much.
It's just not a good role, yeah. Like, he's not likable as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's not funny as the bumbling, stupid, idiot cop either. He's just kind of like, dude, I really wish you hadn't started shit up. So, like, it's about this main guy. What's the main guy's name?
Let me look real quick. It is, his name
Eric
is...
Eric Roth.
Eric, yeah.
And he's looking for his father, who he has never had met before, and he somehow ends up in this shithole podunk town somewhere between Vegas and Reno, which is, I've driven that drive many, many times, and it's about 9 hours of fucking nothing. So, I believe that while this may be a made-up town in the movie, I've seen towns exactly like that along that same stretch of highway.
Okay.
And so he's looking for his dad, and then he's in this town where all these people have these rednecky type problems. You know, they're all kind of white trailer trash. And somehow because of Vincent D'Onofrio's character, the whole town thinks that he's a criminal, and he accidentally holds the liquor store hostage.
Yeah.
And then, so that's the stupid part. And I have to say that. Yeah, exactly. That's how stupid. He's not holding the liquor store hostage, but everyone thinks he is. Mm. Yeah. So I have to skip past that part, which is, I guess, a mild spoiler, even though that's just mainly the first 10 or 20 minutes. But, like, to get to the part that I actually did like, which was the kind of him trying to figure his way out of it, because at this point he's already kind of knee-deep, even though it is accidental, and he probably could just explain it to the cops outside that I'm not trying to take these people hostage.
Yeah.
But he does kind of, outside of that, try to think his way out of it. And that part I found kind of fun. I enjoyed the minimal tension, even if it was minimal. I did kind of enjoy it. And I liked the, there was a couple scenes where there's some chemistry between the characters on the inside, and they're having some conversations. They're getting to know each other. And I kind of like them connecting a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the idea of this guy accidentally holding these people hostage is funny in theory, but the movie is, it's okay, because I watched the trailer and it's definitely marketed as sort of like a high stakes comedy kind of thing, but it's never funny enough for me to call it a comedy. But it's also like, to me, it was never exciting enough to be like a fulfilling crime or hostage drama, and so
no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It fails on both spectrums of that. I'll give that to you.
So it just feels like a tonal mess in the end of it. And it feels like a really poor attempt at pulpy writing and trying to make this feel more significant than it actually is.
Yeah. I think it's just an expectation thing, because you're right. It's not very good. It's kind of forgettable, first of all, which is a huge sin in any movie. But I because I had such low expectations because of Dax Shepard and, you know, poor him, that's the reputation he has now.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when it turned out to be not so bad, it was kind of like, okay, well, this isn't too too bad. I actually kind of like it. And like, you're right, it's not a comedy because there's never any actual jokes.
Yeah.
But they do get into some situations that are kind of funny. Like, there's a scene where the lead sheriff is trying to sneak into the back to get inside and rescue the hostages, and Dax Shepard is in the front being a dumbass Dax Shepard, and the two cops end up getting into a shootout with each other, thinking that the other is what do you call the person that takes people hostages?
The captor?
The captor, yeah. So they think that the other is the captor, even though they're just shooting at each other through the building, which is kind of funny.
I thought that was pretty funny, yeah. I laughed at that.
And then all the people on the inside are like, what the hell are you guys doing? You guys are just shooting at each other.
Yeah.
And then Dax Shepard does actually have, he's kind of toned down. Like, he plays a dumbass, like he always does, but he plays a toned down dumbass.
Right.
So he's not as annoying as he normally is.
No, he's not. I actually got some genuine hard chuckles. I never was like, oh, but there was some
That's
parts.
A chuckle?
No, that was like a guffaw. I'm saying, like, I didn't do that because it wasn't that funny.
That was a real solid guffaw.
Jeez. Who knows CPR?
Hey, when I guffaw, I don't fuck around, right? But, like, you know, he had some funny bits where it was kind of funny. Just, like, because he's a dumbass, but he has a good heart. And, like, out of everyone in this stupid town, he may be the dumbest one there, but at least he's the only one that you're kind of like, well, he's nice.
He's nice.
He's got that going for him.
Have we even mentioned that Tim Allen is in this movie?
No. Which is like...
Was he playing Santa Claus?
That's what I thought was kind of funny, because I was thinking it has, it's a Christmas movie, and he's
like the lead Santa man.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to think that, like, there's a part where he's screaming about Santa Claus, and I like to think that this is like some sort of fucked up sequel, where he loses the Santa job and becomes like a rundown drunk living in Nevada, and he hates Christmas because of his failures to be Santa Claus.
He didn't read the whole clause.
Right, yeah. By the way, for all of my childhood, I thought Santa Claus was spelled with that E because of that movie.
Right, right, right. See, I'm way too... I'm a little bit older than you, and I didn't realize until that long ago that it wasn't Santa Claus, it was Santa Claus. That was pretty smart writing from that, because kids didn't understand and parents did.
So. Yeah. Good movie, that movie.
Yeah. The sequels, though, I don't know. I never saw any of those.
I didn't either.
But yeah, Tim Allen's in it, and he's like, I don't know, what do you think of his performance? I don't like his character and where they went with it, because I knew within 5 minutes of him being introduced where it was going.
Yeah.
Because like, they set it up like, oh, it's a big twist, and you're like, everyone knows.
Yeah, it's very obvious.
Where they're going with this. But as like... You know, he's definitely the ringleader of the funny, not the funny moments, but the part I said I liked about all the hostages getting along and talking and sharing stories and kind of bouncing off each other. He's kind of the ringleader of that, and that I like. There's a part where he's just trying to just sing Christmas carols and get everyone's spirits up, and like, even though it's kind of awkward because he's not a good singer and you can tell that no one's really listening to him, he tries, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, there's something kind of endearing about his character, but and I think everyone in the movie is like pretty into it at least, but there's just not enough to them. There's not like the writing is just very flat, I think. And not enough to pull me in to actually care about anything that was happening. Mm-hmm. And that was my main problem, is that I just didn't care. I was really just kind of half watching it as I sat there today watching it.
Is there anything you did like about it?
I don't think it was... I didn't hate it, is the thing. And I thought I think it's pretty harmless. But there's nothing in it that I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Except that one scene with the shooter that you mentioned. I did get a chuckle out of that. But other than that, there was nothing that I thought really stood out as being particularly good about it. But nothing that was, like, totally awful either. It's just very forgettable.
There are some awful parts to me. Like I said, that setup is just so... It makes zero sense, even within itself. Like, this town is stupid, but they're not that stupid.
Right.
And the way Tim Allen's character ends up, I don't know. It kind of reminded me of that movie, Gran Torino.
Okay.
Did you ever see Gran Torino?
I didn't see it.
Okay. Did you ever see Gran Torino?
No.
Okay. Well... Anyway, in Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood's character becomes best friends with his neighbor kid who's being bullied by this local gang. And he comes up with the most stupid, ridiculous, that would never work plan to get these bullies to stop doing what they're doing. And it's basically the same ending as this one. And it's like, what? There's a million other things you could have done besides going out like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean.
And it's like, but whatever.
And I was thinking, it doesn't even function well really as a Christmas movie. Like, all the Christmas stuff seemed kind of like an afterthought.
Actually, you're right. I did, shit, man, I didn't even think about it. There's nothing Christmassy about it, not one thing, except for it's snowing.
Yeah.
And two, there's a Christmas present.
It's snowing, there's a Christmas present, they got decorations on the store, and Tim Allen tries to sing Christmas carols in the middle of it. That's about it. And so, like, I'm not sure why they decided to make it a Christmas movie, other than to, like, kind of get to the market that loves Die Hard as a Christmas movie, I guess.
Maybe. I think they're just trying to trick people into watching it, thinking it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, like, ruining what I think about the next movie, too, by saying this, but Netflix is really kind of cashing in on us wanting a Christmas movie to watch around this time of year.
You're right. No, you're right. And then it's, no, you know, dude, because they tricked me.
Yeah.
They tricked me into, because I knew that we watched The Christmas Prince, and I was like, okay, well, we might as well make it a Christmas-themed thing, so let's watch this thing, too.
Right.
And now that that's the only reason I was going to review it. The only reason.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, I didn't need to add it to this thing, because it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah, it's really not Christmassy at all. Even the epilogue sort of thing takes place in the summer. Like, it doesn't take place on Christmas Day or anything.
Right. What finally happens to all of them.
Yeah.
And there's one character, that character we were talking about, the one that is either Mexican or Indian, and his epilogue is like, what the fuck? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, what's your final thoughts? What do you give it?
I think it's a pretty frustrating mixed bag of potential ideas that never get followed through on. And just kind of inept writing that never gets entertaining or believable enough for me to care about. So I'm feeling like a strong 2 out of 5 Red Foreman as a cop.
Oh, Red. See, he was exactly Red Foreman. That's funny.
Yeah, he was.
He might as well have just been a continuation of that 70s show because he was the exact same character.
Yeah, he was playing the exact same thing.
He's like, you dumbasses. Yeah.
How are you feeling on it?
You know, it's okay. It has its moments. And I feel like I'm not, maybe I've said this, maybe I've used this fallback too many times. But like, if you're a stoner and you just want something on in the background while you eat some Cheetos and enjoy your buzz, this is okay. There's some moments where it's kind of funny. It's so stupid that if you were high, you wouldn't notice how dumb it is.
Yeah.
But it's so simple because it's kind of a neat bottle film for the most part. You know, it almost all takes place inside this convenience store or whatever the hell it is, liquor store. And it's pretty easy to follow. And there's some funny banter. The characters themselves are not really likable. I can't think of one redeeming character except for maybe that Indian guy, because at least he was like, I don't know, the smartest dude in the room.
He's like the most genuine one out of all of them.
Yeah, like he seems like a real person compared to the rest of them. And, you know, some of them make it, some of them don't make it. It's a wants to be a crime caper, even though it fails at that. It wants to be a dark comedy, even though it fails at that. So it's going to have some bloodshed, and not everyone's going to make it out. But that's okay, because you don't really care about any of them anyway. But one thing I also really didn't like is it starts out, like so many movies these days, where it starts out with the ending, and then it rewinds to show you how they got to this mess. Oh, no.
Right.
Does anyone really, really care
about that anymore? I don't understand what the purpose of that is.
Like, I can't think of a time when that worked, at least of recent memory, where it's just like, just show us the movie.
Yeah.
We don't need to see the ending for you to rebuild up to it. Just build up to it naturally.
Other than, I promise this gets better. Wait around and you'll get to this.
Right. But, you know, it's whatever. So I'm going to give it a solid 4.5. Christmas presents. No. four and a half slutty mothers that I would have wanted to get with.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of which, why did her kid not talk?
I don't know. Well, they never said.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. It seemed like a very non-important thing.
Yeah. Speaking of non-important things, A Christmas Prince.
Not important to you.
Before we get into our review, I just thought it was so funny that Netflix... Did you guys see that news story about Netflix calling out the 56 people that have watched it every single day since it came out?
Yep.
And I just want to give those people a hug because they really, really do, A, need to like better movies, and B, need a hug. I was talking to my coworkers about this today, and then one girl goes, "Hey, I blame that on my kids. I can't help it that they watch the movie on repeat." And I'm like, "You can help it that your kids don't like shitty movies. Don't stop blaming everything on your fucking kids." Yeah. So what's this about?
So basically, it's about a reporter who goes undercover to get a deep dish because she couldn't find a story. So she accidentally sneaks into a royal family type thing and then destroys things and then the love and
so it's so yeah. So okay, so just from that premise, Katherine Heigl stars in it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or what's that girl from Cruel Intentions or Legally Blonde?
Oh,
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
It sounds like one of those movies.
It is one of those movies. One of those stupid movies. Anyway, so this
that
is
made
a
you cry.
It did make me cry. This is A Christmas Prince. It stars Rose McIver,
who is unbelievably hotter when she's a zombie.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't watched that show. Is it good?
It's good. It like I really, really liked the first season, and then it's just
second season is just background noise.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that it's bad or any worse. It just shows its hand, if that makes any sense. Like you've seen everything it has to offer.
Your zombie hand.
And then that's it, you know?
Yeah.
It also stars Ben Lamb, and some other random people.
Stoney McStoneface. He's weird looking. Like,
he looks better with a beard, man. Like,
seriously. I was looking at him and like sometimes like I can't like some like I can tell when a dude's attractive, like you know what I mean.
Uh-oh. Oh, can you?
Yeah, but sometimes I'm like I can't tell if this dude is like supposed to be attractive or not. And this dude looked kind of weird to me for being like
he is very weird shaped face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I get there are movies like these romantic comedies where they got to have the dude be eye candy. But I can't get behind anyone that thinks this dude is eye candy. He just looks like a... Like, if someone were to...
He looks like a derp.
Yeah, exactly. If someone were to stone chisel a monument for someone named Derp, this is what he would look like. Because he's got, like, no emotion in his face.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, these big, broad cheekbones and butt of a chin.
Like, I hate to, like, make fun of the way he looks, but, like, he's, like, supposed to be like this really hot prince guy. He looks a little weird.
Right, that's the whole plot point is that he's like a debutante, or that's a woman, sorry. He's like a Don Juan type prince who's living the party lifestyle, but he just can't settle down and be king like he's supposed to, and she's going to get the inside scoop on it. So she, again, stupid plot point, just go ahead and ignore it because only dumb housewives like this shit anyway. Let's just ignore how she somehow works her way into the royal family without any, like, she could have been a fucking assassin.
Right?
Like, and then, so there's these bad guys, right? There's these bad guys who's, like, the cousin who's next in line. So he's really trying to figure out how he can somehow
screw
over the prince so that he can become king. And if this dumb bitch, sorry, if this dumb reporter blonde girl can sneak her way in with little or to no effort into staying, sleeping, and having 100% access to the royal family, then this not-so-idiot cousin
can become friends.
Yeah, can figure it out.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't be that hard. And, like, the villain in this movie is so, like, he needed, like, one of those curling mustaches.
I know, right?
But he was just so like, I'll figure out a way to be king. And it's like, shut up, dude. You're dumb. I don't know. I don't even know what his problem was, because he's already part of the royal family. He's rich as fuck. Like,
He wanted that power.
He just can't wait to be king.
I wouldn't want to be king. I'd be totally cool with being, like, the brother. Like, if I was Scar, I'd totally be cool with being Scar, right? You know, you're cool with the king. You got all these same access. You just don't have the title. That's fine with me.
And you don't got the responsibility.
Exactly. And you get to fuck the models and no one judges you.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever, man. So she starts posing as the tutor. Thank you. The tutor for the crippled, disabled, let's how many Christmas cliches, God blesses everyone, princess can we add into this thing? Because, okay, that was something right off the bat. So she sneaks her way in because supposedly this princess is such a bitch that the last tutor ran off crying and quit her job.
Mm-hmm.
Quit her job for the royal family, which probably pays fucking a shit ton of money. And it's all because this princess is such a bitch for all about half of a scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before she has a heart of gold.
And she's not even that mean in that one
no,
scene.
No,
she's really
not that mean.
She played a trick on her with a rat.
Yeah.
Not even a rat, a fucking mouse. A cute
yeah.
mouse, too.
A little mousey.
If something put that mouse in my chair, I'd be like, oh, where'd you get that? I want one.
Like, that
maybe
was,
I'm just not afraid of rats.
That was just like a prank from a kid.
Yeah. If she put it down her pants or something, like, I see it, but she just had a rat out on the chair.
Even that's just like, oh, you.
I know, really. Anyway, so she's like a bitch, supposedly, and then they become best buds, and then she, of course, the reporter, you've seen every movie like this. There's sort of too many movies like chick flicks where the girl's a reporter, and the whole drama relies on, well, you lied to me that you're not that
right.
And like, it's one of those things where if people just talked about things, everything would get resolved way quicker. But because it's not that type of movie, because it has to draw it out so that, I'm sorry, this is made for, aimed at, and totally unabashedly taking advantage of boring housewives.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because no one else outside of some poor lady who got married way too young, kids don't like her, her husband's cheating on her, and she doesn't have a job or a personality to bother leaving the house for anyway, would like this movie.
It's, like I said before, it's definitely Netflix capitalizing on, one, the fact that we want something Christmassy to watch this time of year,
mm-hmm.
and two, capitalizing on, like, the schmaltzy kind of Hallmark/Women Network.
You just said the H word, which is the key word here, but I'm going to get back to that in a minute. Keep going.
Okay. That type of movie, you know what I mean? The type that my grandma watches on repeat. All day when I go to visit for Christmas.
This type of movie shouldn't be on Netflix. I feel like as it should be like an ABC Family movie, not Netflix. Like Netflix has this huge name, and then they produce this shit.
You guys know how they did that Netflix thing where it's like it's an hour and a half of fire burning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was better than this.
It was better than
this. I thought that was
actually,
funny.
We did that last year, actually.
Yeah, and it was funny and more entertaining. And
had a good song.
And
we did
wood,
it on repeat, too.
The wood acted better than these people who acted like
seriously.
Wood.
Seriously.
But now, like, it's weird because this movie is so obviously bad and bad in so many ways that everyone can see. But, like, there's something kind of soothing about it to me.
That's just what time of year it is. Because there's not it's a time of year when there's no evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's movies. I don't know. That's why movies like I don't know. I can't think of a Christmas movie that's kind of has a bad guy or something. But like, it's just so like
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Sure, but even that it's just so heartwarming.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's what these movies aim to do. So like it.
But we've seen it before. I can't. Like, I've been trying to think of the many movies that have the same exact plot line. I can't think of them right now, but they're out there. And this is just a repeat, but updated with a 2017 stamp and Netflix on it. That's it. So stupid.
Yeah, and she's kind of a bad reporter, too. Like, every couple of scenes, it'll go to her monologue of her taking notes on her computer. But she's supposed to be this professional journalist, but she writes notes like she's writing a diary.
Yeah.
She uses dot, 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 and,
today,
and I don't know what
to think. Today I ate some oatmeal, and it was royal.
And she has, like, no perception of, like, words to use. Like, she has, like, three adjectives for everything. Because there's one point when she looks at the crippled girl, and she says, I think you're smart and kind and compassionate. And two scenes later, she's just talking to the prince, and she goes, no, you're not just a party animal prince. I think you're smart and kind and compassionate. And then at the very, very end, when they're having their fight, and she's trying to say whatever she needs to say in order to make him fall in love with her again, what does she say?
You're kind,
and you're smart, and you're compassionate. She says it like eight times to like eight different people, and I'd be like, you know what? I already heard you through the wall tell that to my sister, so fuck you.
They try really hard to make her like the cute, quirky girl too. Like the fact that she only wears her red Converse, even with her dress.
Hey, I thought that was cute.
Here's the thing: it's cute when it's legitimate. When it's not contrived. Because that's the type of chick that you are in real life. Mm-hmm. That'd be cute. This chick is so paint by numbers. Oh, I'm different. I focus on my career, but I'm quirky at the same time. Have I convinced you yet that I'm quirky? Because I'm going to say it one more time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That it's not cute because it's just so obvious.
Okay.
Like, you know what? When that worked, it was that stupid movie with Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
Princess Diaries. Because she was quirky and she was kind of...
That's the same another movie like this, too.
It is kind of... It is, but that's the thing. Is that this is... Here's the thing. And this is not really rant. This is just something I've noticed, okay? So, we got the OG of Christmas movies, right? Think of the good Christmas movies. Fucking, you know, Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, that sort of shit, right? Mm-hmm. And then that was one generation of... That was a whole generation or a couple years worth... A couple decades worth, excuse me, of original, hardcore, good Christmas movies that still live up to this day, right? And then you have the generation that came after that grew up on those movies and wanted to emulate that formula. And what did those people do? They became the Hallmark Channel, and they put out nothing but shit.
Mm.
Okay? But they were trying. They were trying to copy the original, and they came out with shit. Fine, whatever. There's an audience for it. Housewives, again, have your thing. But now, that was another decade or so ago. These people that produced this movie are trying to do the same exact thing, but they're not copying the OG movies. They're copying the movies they grew up on, which is the Hallmark shit. Hmm. It's not even a good, authentic copy. It's a fucking...
It's a replicant of a replicant.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, it's bad, because it's not even as good as those Hallmark movies, which are pretty fucking awful.
Yeah.
They have a time, and it's during Christmas time, and it's on the Hallmark Channel, where you mostly just ignore it anyway. But this is on Netflix, and Netflix is just getting too proud of their shit sometimes, because you can't avoid when they come out with something new, because it always pops up, like,
the trailer, like, right in the beginning.
Yeah, like, Netflix is the thing where it starts playing the trailer before you even say yes to it. You're like, I just wanted to get on and watch fucking Friends or something, and it starts playing the trailer for this shit.
Yeah, and they've been pumping out just a lot of mediocre stuff lately, too.
Yep.
I feel like after Stranger Things Season 1, they kind of just got a thick skull and just started pumping out stuff. Just pumping, 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 pumping. And it's all rushed, like...
And they took away all the good stuff, like How I Met Your Mother. Fuckers.
Yeah, they took off It's Always Sunny this week.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And Netflix, we need to have a chat with y'all.
Utilize your budget better.
Right? For real.
It's funny because I saw this news story that was talking about how Netflix is like $30 billion or $30 million in debt because they're producing so much stuff. But they, you know, they're slated to like make that all back in like a decade or so, right? And because they're just going to keep upping prices and they're getting more and more subscribers every day, which is good for them. But like if you're $30 million in debt and this is what you're producing?
Yeah.
Like, you need to try harder, because this is just, I don't want to say contrived again, but that's exactly what it is. It's just nothing special. It's dumb. And it's not even like, it doesn't have enough scenes in any of these movies that you really need, where you really feel the chemistry between the two leads. Because these movies are always stupid, and you know, I'm not spoiling anything, you know they're going to get together in the end, but it's how they get together. It's making you want to get them together instead of not caring. These two characters have no chemistry with each other at all.
No, yeah, no one has chemistry with anyone in this movie, really.
Right.
And even the queen, who's supposed to be like, I don't know, I kind of wanted her to be kind of like a queen. She was trying to do that thing that Julie Andrews was doing in Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like the queen, but at the same time, she's kind of sassy and she's street smart. She knows what's up. Yeah. They were kind of doing that with her, the queen, in this movie, too, but she's kind of inept at doing anything. Like, she's not very queen-like. There's no authority in her
posture, presence. Her yeah, voice, right. Or anything like that. She just has that stern look, and that was it. Like, right. She had, like, the stone face.
I mean, they're supposed to be a royal family, but they kind of come off more like...
derps.
I'm going to say the Kardashians, which is a horrible reference on my part, because I've never even seen one episode of that stupid shit anyway. But, like, you get what I mean? They're just...
Yeah.
They just don't have a royal personality. They just come off as rich for the sake of being rich.
Yeah.
And self-importance.
I feel like what Netflix did was they just needed to get a Christmas movie out, so they just rushed the fuck out of this. So basically, they're like, hey, let's do a casting call. Oh, I don't even need you to read lines. I'm going to pick you, and you. And then one of them ended up being a homeless guy, which is the prince, and that's pretty much just what happened. They had him read lines, and there you go. And then they decided to hire, like, some shit special effects guy because, did you guys see the scene with the bow and arrows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was shit. The stupid arrow wasn't even touching the stupid thingamabob. And then all of a sudden it made it directly into the bullseye. What are they smoking?
Also a bit of a logic question.
They're smoking
missiles. They're smoking missiles.
They're doing it all wrong.
Doesn't she work for a fashion magazine?
Yeah. What? I'm pretty sure it's a fashion magazine.
Why did they send her to cover this political press conference?
So basically, what they wanted to get was apparently the guy was a playboy.
Uh-huh.
He was sleeping around, quote unquote. So they wanted to figure out if that was true, to get the dirt on him that way. So that's why.
But if that were true, and I mean, not the him sleeping around part, if it were true that she's actually does have a good job for this fashion, somewhat successful fashion magazine, and the whole plot revolves around the fact that she's trying to actually, she's never had a story published ever, so she's trying her best to get this story out, but they send her on this story simply because she's the only person available because it's Christmas. Okay, No, it wouldn't work like that. In any sort of publishing magazine company or whatever, they would have 8 people lining out the door for a chance to jump at this story. They wouldn't just give it to some underling.
Right.
And like I said, she's not even a good reporter because her writing is terrible.
Yeah, she's clearly not very good. She doesn't deserve the job.
Yeah. And the worst part is just those villains are just so stupid. They just made me laugh, like, not in a... They remind me of, like, I don't know. They kind of reminded me of the criminals from Home Alone. Just because they're just so, like...
Yeah.
They remind me of, what's it called? Do you guys remember Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Oh, you're so
but,
right.
Like, the two,
bad guys.
The two, yeah, they remind me of them, but, like, just not as funny.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm with you there. So yeah, I guess it's about it. It's just.
I think this was before Teresa's time. Rocky and Bullwinkle stayed quiet.
I'm aware of the name. Don't really know what all is going on there though.
Sorry, I'm missing Davy the baby right now, so I think I want to make fun of you now.
It's fine.
Tracy the baby.
Oh, that's
wait, no, that doesn't really work because then that sounds like I'm calling you Tracy the girl.
That's all right.
Tracy the baby!
That's the moose, right?
Yes!
Okay. I thought so.
There's a moose and a squirrel and the bad guys. And...
Okay, yes. Yeah.
I never actually did see that movie. I just saw the original cartoons. But...
I love Rocky and Bullwinkle.
The live action movie? It's pretty.
I love everything.
Everything.
Oh, well, do you love this? What's your final thoughts on it?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
They're so stupid.
Are you an elf?
No, I was doing... I was saying bully ball.
Oh. Well, just sounded like an elf.
I thought that... So, TJ said that I was crying at the end of the movie. I didn't. I was really focused on the engagement thing because I think I like love. I don't know.
Because you're a girl and you get your hormones get the best of you, so you like the fact that in the end they got engaged. Oh, spoiler alert.
Oops. But, no, I don't know. I like love scenes. They're cute. I'm a hopeless romantic. So, even though they knew each other 6 days, I'm a hopeless romantic, so I kind of hope for that. But anyway, it was Netflix could have done so much better. I really wish they had time to actually focus on the content that they were putting out, especially during Christmas time, because this is the time that we all like to watch movies, especially for the people who don't gather with their families.
Exactly.
So they should have freaking done something better. And this crap that they produced is just, I mean, put it on in the background, put it on while you're, I don't know, painting your toenails or clipping them or whatever the hell, but just don't watch it. It's not great. And with that, I have nothing else to say to it except I'm going to give it a, one out of 10. The only reason I'm giving it one is because it's the holidays.
Shut up. The only reason you're giving it one is because you have two ratings, one and two. And you've never given anything higher than that.
Pretty much. I'm going to give it a 1 out of 10. Notes inside an acorn.
That's pretty stupid.
That was a good one.
You're stupid.
No, I'm not saying that your rating was stupid. I'm saying that plot point was stupid.
Oh. Oh,
she had to decipher an entire fucking poem.
So she's a good writer.
Yeah.
But she's
to be good... or not to be. Oh my god, I know who George Washington is.
Trace, what's up?
Some of the stuff in this movie is so bad that at times I was thinking, like, that it was some really subtle form of satire. And I'm trying to poke fun at these movies. But no, this is a genuine effort, and it's exactly what you're expecting. Whatever you think is going to happen in this movie, it does beat by beat. This is exactly the kind of shit you find playing on the Lifetime Network in the middle of the day on December 23rd. And it's just not good. I don't know why Netflix rushed into producing this. But, like I said, I was kind of soothed while watching it. And I could like, if a family member put this on, and we were just hanging out in the living room with the Christmas tree on, and it was on TV, I could definitely see myself playing Tetris on my computer with this playing in the background. So, I'm going to go ahead with 1.5 out of 5 disabled children falling over on sleds.
Yes. I would watch that on repeat. I didn't have much to round up my thing with, but then Leslie brought up a point when she said, like, just put it on, leave it on in the background while you do your nails and stuff. And that kind of hit home with me, because this is one of those fucking movies where it's like, it's teaching lonely women to just sit around and wait for Prince Charming. You don't have to, like, work for it. You don't have to earn your love.
And you only need 6 days.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's fucking infuriating, because then you have people who believe this shit, and then we get so many, like, oh, real life people. Like, how many people do we all know who, like, knew someone for, like, a week, got married, acted like it was serious, and everyone around you on Facebook and their family was like, oh, congratulations, we're so happy for you. And you're the one sitting there like, this is never going to last. This is stupid. We all know something like that, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's like, this is an example of that movie, because someone, that person that we all roll our eyes at and we know it's not going to last, so why are we, like, pretending, likes this movie. Because this is what this movie teaches them, is that they just don't have to do shit and love will just fucking fall on their lap. And they'll be forgiven for being fucking liars and horrible people. And quite frankly, not that good looking because she...
And possible assassins.
Seriously.
She could have an assassin.
Yeah.
I want her to go back to being a zombie because she's really fucking hot as a zombie.
She looked really good, pal.
She's annoying as fuck here. So because it's, like, offensive to me, it wasn't offensive until Leslie just made me think about this, but, like, it's bad, right? But I'll never give a movie a really low rating unless I find it offensive. And there's lots of shit that this is just, it's too offensive because it's just, it's contributing to the stupidity of the world or the unhappiness of the world because it's fucking fake and it's not even trying hard enough. So because of that, I'm going to give it a 0.5 out of 5 castles that look like the It's a Small World ride.
Wait, a 0.5 out of 5?
Yeah. So 1 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
We can see that you're not a good tutor because you don't like numbery things.
Oh, numbery things.
But yeah. Yeah, so 1 out of 10 small castles. It's a Small World castles because their castle is fucking stupid. And their guards were all dressed like...
Oh my god, their guards! What the hell?
It's funny, they have these security guards standing around in almost every scene, and yet somehow they don't happen to stop this woman just sneaking into the castle, pretending to be a tutor. Yeah, there's so many other better Christmas movies than this, and Netflix should have a better Christmas movie than this, because they should be the go-to,
yeah.
And they dropped the
They're
ball.
They're not. It's just...
They have the means.
Yeah, they really do.
Well, they fucked it up.
And as a site that hosts Christmas movies, they should know which ones are good and which ones are bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they just need the content to get it out.
Yeah. Well, I would rather watch the fireplace thing again.
Me too.
No joke.
Want to go put it on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Thank you all for joining us for this season finale of Intern.cast show here on oneofus.net. Please stick around because even though we are not going to be around for just for a couple little bit here, there's still so much great content on there. Subscribe as you feel free. And hopefully you will see us all very soon.
Trace, where can we find you?
Yeah.
You can find me on, Twitter at Trace the Verb, Instagram at Trace the Verb, Letterboxd Trace the Verb, San Antonio, Texas, if you know where to look. That's it.
What's your name again?
Trace the Verb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you pronounce that again? Just kidding. Oh, yeah, you can follow me on things, but I prefer you don't. But Instagram is Look So Pretty. LookSoPretty. There, with a little flavor there. Flow, flavor?
And you can add her on.
Oh, and then you can add me. And by the way, Trace, you said this didn't work like this last time, but guess what it does?
Oh, does it?
Yeah, you could actually add friends on the camp, whatever, and I'm trying to find my little login thing, so this obviously isn't going to work out very
well. Oh, yeah. You need the code, though.
Yeah, where's my code?
That's what I was saying.
Never mind, I was going to get my code. I had it earlier, but fine, whatever.
If you find your code while you can look while I'm talking, you can follow me on Instagram at Trace Sever.
Yeah.
And on Twitter at Trace Sever. Actually, I've always been, there was a time when I didn't have a Twitter and I was like, I should get a Twitter. And then I started plugging my Twitter and I've actually officially decided I'm not going to use Twitter. You know why? Because Twitter does not.
Twitter.
Yeah. Because Twitter does not block Donald Trump. And I just find that offensive because he breaks almost every single rule of conduct that they actually have. But they keep him around because, hey, it gets them hits. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
It's a horrible site.
I find that to be absolute bullshit, so I am boycotting Twitter, even though I never really used it to begin with. But you can add me on Facebook, and please do, because if you add me on Facebook, or at least comment below on this page, I will at least know that some people are listening and want us to come back, and I will work hard to actually make time for it, because I do enjoy doing this, and we have some funny combos. So, you can find me on Facebook at Mr.Hooker711. And, thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, bye.
Wait, I haven't found my thing.
Oh, well.
Okay, just kidding, bye.
Feliz Navidad.